Edmonton Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, we've been having the pleasure of speaking to Scott Taylor of late. He's, of course, is a security, safety and risk expert, both in Australia and overseas. And we've talked about frontline workers, what they're having to deal with the rather arrogant public, and Security Home Hub last time we spoke. But today, he says, and I think we're all going to agree with this, not all tools at Bunnings are on the shelf. How can we all smile when we say that? And it's true.
It is. How are you going, Jenny?
I'm very good, Scott. Look, thank you very much for speaking to us again today. I very much appreciate it because, you know, the line that you're involved in is very much at the forefront, really, everywhere around the world at the moment, with people behaving rather strangely. Talking about Bunnings, it was on social media today that the lady that made the stand, did you see that? When she went to Bunnings?
Yeah, she's actually showing some symptoms herself, apparently. Yes, that's right.
Well, that's what they're indicating. And she's a self-proclaimed witch or something and a psychic and all this strange stuff. And she obviously didn't predict what was going to happen to her.
No, not at all. And so Bunnings is just one example. I mean, so sadly, as a result of all this, there has been such a spike in frustration, aggression and violence in the retail environment. And it's putting the frontline workers in danger, definitely.
Look, it is. I don't know how they go home at night and have to deal with it. They're employed to just sort of serve people that come into the store, do the best that they can. And I don't know. This pent-up anger and aggression is really getting out of control. It's dividing. It's dividing the country.
It really is. And you've mentioned, I know you mentioned it in our last discussion as well, that same as the frontline workers, the people working in the retail environment are community members. They've got the same concerns and peers with what's happening at the moment. So they definitely don't deserve to be the focal point for the fury and the frustration that they're getting currently.
Look, I don't know how this can be controlled. I mean, can the owners of the company or the small business or the large business call the police on these people if they get confronting? Can they ask them to leave the store? What are their rights?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, part of this is to do with the education. So, I mean, at the moment, whether it was the situation we saw with the video there at Bunnings or a couple of other spots, unfortunately, there's a mix where there's some elements of frustration and concern where there was a spike in the violence and aggression due to item shortages. You know, it was pretty well publicised about where people were coming in and short on toilet paper and they were venting their frustration then towards the security and others. Now, you've got things where they're explaining their view of human rights and having to wear a mask. And they're basically saying to the people in the retail environment, well, you can't enforce me wearing a mask. And that's the part, the education piece is, yes, they can. If they're a private business, like if a business on private property, they can set their conditions of entry.
Yeah, a lot of rules had to be changed during this pandemic. You know, they had to be, didn't they, to protect others?
Yeah, definitely. And that's the part, I mean, at its base term, the Australian legislative framework says that, like, your landowners, occupiers, they can take reasonable steps to protect themselves, their employees and people on the property. So enforcing things like sanitising hands and wearing a mask, they're in a position that they can do that for a condition of entry. And part of it now is, I suppose it's like the adult version of boys in school, no hat, no play, or nightclub entrance rules. It's the same thing.
It is. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The only trouble is there, if you have a staff member at the front door trying to control what's coming in and you're getting abused, you're putting your safety on the line, aren't you, really? I mean, the person could get physically aggressive.
Yeah, but that's another really valid point. So part of it with it now, it's a different landscape that they're dealing with in the retail environment. There's been such a dramatic spike not only with the abuse, but also like the actual aggression and violence that you feel with things as well. So sadly, I'm acutely aware of a couple of examples that have occurred with regards to this, and it's just circumstances that just shouldn't happen. The people that are in here are there helping provide us with the items and you know, especially during these times when, you know, they're trying to manage that stress and frustration piece, they need to be treated with the same level of courtesy and respect.
Oh, look, it's just so obvious that that's the case. The thing is, though, so there are people in our environment that do not like rules and regulations. That's why we have crime. They think that they can do whatever they like whenever they like. And when things change, they rebel like school children. I can't believe there's an increase of 100% of customer abuse, assault and theft. 100%.
Yeah, it's and that's only on with what's been reported. So realistically, like it would be inflated even above that. That's just what's getting reported through and communicated for some of that trend reporting. So it would definitely be a lot higher than that as well.
You've said here too that crime, of course, has stopped break-ins and stealing cars from someone's driveway because obviously people are at home and they're, yeah. They're a bit, you know, worried about going into that situation, the criminals. So where are they getting their food and fodder from?
Yeah, and that's the part. So part of this is about the transference of crime. So whilst there's definitely some dips in other parts, like the residential break-ins and, you know, 24% drop in vehicle theft and a couple of others where there's big drops, criminals don't take a holiday. They just transfer yeah. their location from work. So that's why there's been a jump in elements of retail crime spike, collating goods, and there was some, you know, pretty publicised items as well where there was gathering of people in minibuses out to some of the remote and regional retail areas where they're stock hoarding and obviously stealing as well mm-hmm. items. So there's sadly been a spike with that as well.
Brings out the worst in people, doesn't it?
Yeah, very, very much so. And realistically, it's part of this is the education piece and as an understanding that obviously there's people in the retail environment. That's not there. While they do get some training for with this as well, that's not the frontline part like for with the role dealing with this conflict and aggression. And there's been some great programs out there. And I know that the CEO of the National Retail Association, Dominic Lamb, I've seen some of the content that she's put out. And so the industry is aware of it. And part of it is just continuing down to give those workers the support to not just deal with some of these angry people, but even some of the coping mechanisms post that, because we, you know, they'd be taking that stress and anxiety home with them as well.
Oh, yeah, violence in the home has increased as well. It's just awful. You see, in the with the retail outlets and that sort of thing, are they actually employing people like yourselves? You know, personal security, professional security.
Yes, yeah, they are. So we've got a lot of the different businesses in the retail environment have now got security personnel there just to assist, to help sort of take over if a situation takes a different path or starts to escalate.
Good. Another expense, though.
It is another expense. And it's another expense with some areas of the retail environment where their turnover's down, but they're having to take over and some of these increased expenses as well. So definitely not timely for them.
Look, you travel the world talking about security to so many influential businesses and corporations and that sort of thing. I just want to ask your opinion on something. Here, free, right? don't send me an invoice. Oh, I take advantage of so many people if they only knew. Scott, here in Perth, in Northbridge, it's one of our nightclub restaurant areas, probably a King's Cross in Sydney and so forth and so forth. Just of late, in the early hours of the morning, we are having incredible problems with street fighting and brawls. There's a call for them to actually increase the police force to be out there in the early hours of the morning, which is, you know, pretty hard on the police force because they're coming in with hatchets and, you know, pepper sprays and everything, these young people drinking too much. Or there should be a curfew. What do you reckon works?
I'm a strong believer in taking a bit of a rounded approach. So part of it with that is until a situation is happening and then the police are getting involved and called, part of that is actually occurring too late. If there's these sort of things happening with the organised groups and meeting with some of these larger fights and others, that means there'll be some pre-communication that's happening for with that and lead-up information on various elements of social media. So that's another point, probably a topic for another week, but about the effective use of social media for helping, for tracking and the proactive use in managing crime. From the police response point of view, I mean, part of it with that is, regardless of the business, is setting up that right state of deterrence, you know, that security sphere. That's going to be a combination of a range of elements. One is, I suppose, what we call SEPTED principles, that crime prevention through environment design. So in those areas, if you have a look at the areas where these sort of things occur, and I don't know the specific area, but traditionally...
Nightclub areas and back streets, yeah.
And yeah, so part of those areas where you've got, you know, quite often lower levels of maintenance, not great lighting for with those, and under crime prevention through environment design, you've got things like territoriality and natural surveillance. And so you find that if you help manipulate some of the items in those areas and the built environment with the lighting and changing some of the maintenance to get better sight lines and others, that becomes a bit of a deterrent.
Okay.
So that plus like the social media review and other parts as well, it's a combination of things that gets you the best circumstance. One of the The best story that I heard about for a conflict was there was a situation that was occurring over in the Middle East where there was a large amount of conflict happening in the square. And when they had called in a specialist to help try and remove and reduce these conflicts, one of the first things he said was, well, let's just cut the food vendors out from having their ability to set the food stands up. And sure enough, when they did that, within 24 hours, as soon as it came to dinner time, over the next hour or two, all the people that would normally be digging the heels in and having situations all went home for dinner.
Yeah.
So sometimes it takes a bit of a unique approach if you have a look at the totality of circumstance. But definitely, there's multi-layer approach with that.
It's interesting, the social media, because that's how they get the word out there, especially for parties in homes and that sort of thing when parents are away. The other thing, too, is I remember years ago, there was a problem in New York, I think, and there was a big car park and the gangs would fight there and they ended up playing Frank Sinatra music and that got rid of them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Sometimes it can be quite a unique and out of left field response to doing that, but part of it is taking the holistic cleaning. With some of these things, that just the traditional measures of, you know, let's just send in more police or let's just put some cameras on it for things as well. If more rounded planning happens, you can get like a much better and even more sustainable result. But that's why I think it's important to look at all different options with situations like that.
It's such a fabulous area, Northbridge. It's just over the other side of the tracks, I suppose, from the city itself. And come summertime, we have festivals there. We have families in there having meals. We've got gangs coming in. You know what they have over the past. It seemed to be under control for quite a few years, but just of late, I think there's a resurgence again of anger, you know, of gang fighting and that sort of thing, and drunkenness. So yeah, you're right, it's a horrible situation. I mean, the people that get involved in it get hurt too, so no one wins.
Definitely, and part of it with this, that can be one of the outputs for a combination of other things: stress, anxiety, frustration at home in different elements of that environment. Uncertainty when it comes to education, employment options, a range of things at the moment, and if they haven't got other productive avenues for things as well, then sadly situations like that can occur.
It's always been the case in history. You know, if you've got idle hands and you have that gang attitude, I suppose, where you've got strength in numbers, then there's always going to be trouble. It's always been out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, thank you for the free advice, Scott.
No problem. Happy to help.
We'll speak to you again. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. See Scott you. Taylor joining us.